Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's show is number 62, and what we're going to talk about today is rabbit production. I just butchered a couple of our rabbits ready to go to market now, and as I was doing that, I was thinking to myself that this might be a good show. I know some of you are trying to raise more of your own food and be more sustainable, and what a great way to do that is through rabbits. And so we're going to talk about why that is true and look at the ways in which we have raised rabbits. Of course, we have not perfected anything yet, but we are on the way and trying to get better at it all the time. So wanted to show you how we raise rabbits here at Bethel Family Farm. But before we do that, I want to mention a couple of changes to the website, some new updates. First of all, you'll notice a couple of new affiliates up there. I'm going to start having, now that we've got a few of them up there, start having a little bit more focus on some of the affiliates. This is a way to help support the Legacy Podcast. Each time you go to the affiliates and purchase something, it gives back a little bit of the commissions to me, and that helps us be able to stay doing what we're doing here and offset some of the costs to it. So the first affiliate focus is envelopes. I talk a lot about the importance of having a budget here on the Legacy Podcast and how important it is to track your money, to get out of debt, those kinds of things. Well, that's what Envelopes does. Envelopes is the most effective online personal finance and spending management system ever. This revolutionary award-winning system applies innovative financial software technology to the traditional envelope method of budgeting to help you manage your finances while living within your income. And most of it's done automatically. I like that. It has even a debt snowball program built into it. And the free basic version and trial are available. And then, of course, you can also upgrade. And it's less than $10 a month if you upgrade to the premium service. It's a great program. And if you're not currently using any kind of budgeting software, this is where I recommend that you go to get your budgeting software, Envelopes. The second affiliate focus is Vision Forum. Vision Forum has as their mission statement to communicate a vision of victory to Christian families through edifying books, films, toys, curriculum, and other resources. Now, that's a business mission that I can get behind. My family loves Vision Forum. We have used both Envelopes as well as Vision Forum regularly. In fact, my kids have some of the Vision Forum toys. They use it right. They got one toy called the 7-in-1 tool. I want to use that myself and get one of those myself. It's a great tool. And there's all kinds of other resources for homeschooling, for parenting, for family in general. And so check out Vision Forum. So you can reach both of the Envelope and the Vision Forum as well as the other affiliates on our website in the right center column. And on the left, on the right, far right center column, you can register as a user of the website, which is the next item I want to bring up. Make sure that you are registered. That enables you to get all of the email updates and all the changes to the website as soon as they come out so that you can keep abreast of what's going on and know when new items come out, blog posts, podcasts, that kind of thing. It also enables you to provide comments to each of the episodes through the comment section, and I encourage you to do that. Best way to make a specific comment to me, however, is at steve@thelegacypodcast.com. And again, I would appreciate any feedback that I get, and I try to adjust accordingly to those feedback, so continue to provide those for me. And then also, I want you, if you like this show, I want you to consider becoming a Legacy Partner. Our Legacy Partner program is $30 a year, and with that, you have access to the premium members page, which has over $50 worth of value. I also included in that now, where there's a extra downloadable ebook that you can get. I just read some of it last night. It's a good book called Money for Life. It talks about a situation where a family is in need of financial advice and they get financial advice. And so it kind of walks you through in a story form how to manage your money and budget and get out of debt, those kinds of things. And so that's a great resource. You can download that if you're a Legacy Partner in the Legacy Partner page along with the other items there. And finally, it also enables you to support the show at less than 25 cents an episode. So that's a little bit longer introductory segment, but I wanted to cover some of those new affiliates, and I will be focusing on one or two of those as we go along. So now let's go ahead and look at the regular content for today's show. And what I want to talk about today is rabbits. And the first thing I want to address is, why is it that rabbits are a good source for us to raise? Well, there's a number of reasons. One is that they have really good lean meat. People today particularly are looking for meat that is lean and can be eaten, because we're all health conscious. And I know that there's a great deal of information out there sometimes saying that some of the fattier meats are sometimes better for us. But nonetheless, a lot of people are looking for lean meat. Well, rabbit is a great source of lean meat. They actually contain most of their fat in some of their viscera area. And so their actual meat is very, very, very lean. The second reason why it's important to consider raising rabbits is because they're very, very quiet. I know a lot of people that maybe listen to this are in an area where they can't have actual livestock because of noise restrictions or because they're not in a rural area or something like that. But I know that in most cases, rabbits are not considered livestock. They're considered pets. And so you can have them. They're very, very quiet. They don't make, any sounds. Even hens sometimes make some sounds. And of course, roosters, if you have those, they make a lot of sounds. But rabbits, they are very, very quiet. So that's a good feature. Another reason why rabbits are good is because they're very, very prolific. Of course, we've all heard the saying before that, they breed like rabbits. Well, that's because rabbits are great breeders and, they produce a lot of young. And so they're a great source for that. It's not like a chicken who has to sit on the eggs and then there's only one egg or two eggs or something like that. This is actually, they can give birth to quite a few at one time. And I'll talk about that a little bit further when I talk about breeding. But another reason why rabbits are good is because they're a dinner size portion. Sometimes even if you're a hunter or something like that and you go and get a deer, you've got to get it all cleaned up and ready to go, put it in the freezer, and then you've got deer for a while, which can be nice. But sometimes it's nice just to be able to have, one meal right there ready that you can eat fresh and, not have a whole lot of leftovers and not have to put a lot in your freezer and store and all that kind of thing. And so if you have some rabbits out back and you're going to take one for dinner and get it ready, that's a great resource as well. And then another reason why rabbits are good is because they're a neutral meat. There's a few things that are neutral meat. Chicken's another neutral meat. And by neutral meat, what I mean is that they take on the flavor that you flavor them with. So, just like with chicken, if you put barbecue sauce on a rabbit, it's going to have a very barbecue flavor. If you put it in the stew pot and you put a bunch of vegetables and all with it, it's going to have a different flavor. So it kind of absorbs the flavor of the items that you cook with it. And, there a lot of meats are like that, but particularly chicken. And so anything that you do with a chicken, any way you cook a chicken, you can do with a rabbit as well. And it'll taste very, very similar because of the different kind of, and because they're both neutral meats. And then also another reason why you want to consider raising rabbits is because they're easier to process than chickens. If any of you have tried to pluck a chicken, you'll know what I mean. Now we have a chicken feather plucker, and you can see that on one of the episodes that I've done where I have a picture of that. But if you don't have a feather plucker, it can sometimes be a real challenge to try to get all those feathers out. And even when you do, we still have to pick through the pin feathers. And, that is an arduous task in many ways. And, some people don't even worry about that. They just skin the chicken. Well, with a rabbit, you don't have any of that. You just skin the whole thing, and then you've got the hide there, and you've got the meat. And, it's a lot easier to process than a chicken. Similar in many respects once you get inside, but getting off the skin is different. Of course, I didn't even mention is one of the benefits of the hide. I haven't figured out yet what to do with the hide. If any of you know really how to process a good hide and get it ready, or know of anybody that takes rabbit's hide, something like that, I would be interested in knowing that. You can email me at steve@thelegacypodcast.com, and I can get back in touch with you about that or something. But I would be encouraged to know how best to take care of the hide. Right now, I've just been throwing them in the woods because I'm not really sure how to do it. I've tried to process them a little bit, but so far I have not had a lot of success. But that's another byproduct that could be used, which is a potentially good thing for rabbits. And then, the last reason why rabbits maybe are a good thing, and maybe not the least reason, is that they're more sustainable food requirements. You can put a rabbit out in pasture, and it can get the vast majority of its feed from that pasture, especially if you supplement it with maybe some clover hay or, something like that that you bring to it. But you don't have to feed it an extensive amount of store-bought food. It can get by with a lot that's already on your farm or already on your property. And so it's a lot more sustainable than chicken. A chicken, even if you let it free range, it's still going to need a lot of supplemental seeds and things like that. And so it's a lot more sustainable in that way. So those are the reasons why rabbits are good. So let's go ahead and take a look at how to contain rabbits. There's really about three different ways that people have proposed to contain rabbits. The first way I have absolutely no experience with other than reading about it, and that's the colony. Some people say that this is the best way, of course, because it's more natural for the rabbit, and you know they can burrow and live among themselves in their own colonies and that kind of thing. And so a lot of people like colony, and I've not had any experience with this. Like I said, I think that it would be a really difficult thing to set up. But if you're interested in that, you can probably do some searches online. And I think there's probably over at permese.com, P-E-R-M-E-S-E.com. There's probably some information on how to raise rabbits in a colony. The other two I do have some familiarity with, and the first one is suspended in cages, and I'm going to show some pictures in the show notes, so be sure that if you're listening to this without going to the website, maybe through downloads of iTunes or something like that, be sure you go to the website and take a look at the pictures that I have up. But suspended in cages, I have all of my breeding stock suspended in cages. I put the bunnies out in pasture, but I have the other one suspended in cages. Now, the benefit of this is, of course, one thing is it captures the manure underneath. You can put some hay underneath there like we do, and the urine and the manure, of course, drops through their cages and onto that, and it produces a great compost. And so that's an added benefit. But also, there's some challenges. One, you have to bring the food to the animal. Of course, they're not on pasture, so they can't get a lot of that food. But you can certainly, as you're weeding the garden, which is a great, I used to hate to weed the garden or take weeds out. But now when I got Doc in there or something like that, they love Doc. And so I can take that Doc over to the rabbits and let them eat that. And they just go to town. And so it's a way of actually getting two birds with one stone. I'm able to clear the garden, plus I'm able to feed the rabbits and get their meat in the process. But you do have to bring the food to them when they're suspended in cages. The other challenge is that, it's a small space for them often, rather than, I think, colony would be the, largest space. And maybe pens, multiple pens outside would be, another reason, but or another way. But certainly the small space can also be a benefit in that if you have only a small space, maybe a garage or maybe a lean-to out back or a shed or something like that, and you want to put the rabbits in there, you could certainly do that. You wouldn't need a lot of space. You wouldn't need a lot of ground. You wouldn't need a lot of yard or, acreage or anything like that to be able to raise rabbits that way. You could do it pretty sustainably just in a barn. In fact, our breeding stock is in the barn, and it's a great place for them, just in the corner of the barn. Works out pretty good. And then also, the cages themselves, this would be another drawback. The cages themselves can sometimes be a little bit more expensive when you got to buy the rabbit cage, wire cages. You can put which is the alternative, would be to put them out on pasture. And, of course, out on pasture, you can use wooden cage with chicken wire. And chicken wire is a lot less expensive than rabbit wire because rabbit wire is much more sturdy. And so those are some advantages and some disadvantages to raising them in cages. And I've already alluded to it already, but the portable pens in pasture is another alternative for raising rabbits and containing them. And the way that you could do this is you could contain them in a structure. You'll see on the website some of the pictures we have. Any kind of structure, as long as it is able to keep rabbits in. Now, that sometimes can be a challenge because they like to dig. And so when you have on pasture, you got to make sure you have some kind of means of protecting them from getting out and not digging underneath. And they will dig underneath. And so I've tried a different ways of doing that. One of the ways I did it is actually putting chicken wire in the bottom. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get a lot of pasture when you do that. I've used dog fence at the bottom, which, of course, has larger squares, rectangles, and so they're able to get more feed that way. I've also only put fencing around the corners and contained it that way so that they, if they dig in the middle, that's okay. Of course, you have to put dirt back in when you move the pen. And so, there's some drawbacks to putting them out on pasture in terms of their digging, but, of course, they love being out on pasture and being able to forage and get what they want to eat. And so another advantage is that the manure goes right there onto your yard or onto your pasture or wherever you're moving the rabbits around, and that, of course, that helps fertilize the soil and fertilize the ground, and you don't have to add anything. It's a labor-saving device. You don't have to scoop it out of the barn or wherever your contained suspended ones are. And then also, you know, rabbits can eat whatever they desire. You know, we don't know sometimes what the body needs in the rabbit. We bring them different kinds of food and mix it all up for them, and that may be what they want, it may not be, but when they're out on pasture, they can kind of pick and choose what's in the pasture that they want to eat, and they can kind of self-regulate and self-medicate their own food that way, which is a good thing. Another challenge with being out on pasture, though, is making sure they have enough shade, and depending upon the angle of the sun and how you have your pens and those kinds of things, you have to be careful, especially in the heat of summer, because rabbits don't tolerate heat very well, and so you need to make sure that your shelter has plenty of shade for them. And you can do that, of course, in a number of different ways, but you know, just make sure you have that. So that takes care of how to contain rabbits. Now let's talk about how to feed rabbits. And as you might imagine, this kind of depends upon how they're contained. Obviously, if they're out on pasture and they're in some kind of, you know, pasture movable pen, then they're able to have access to that, and you don't have to bring them quite as much food. But if they're in a suspended cage, then you've got to bring them some more food. So you can either bring them forage or you can bring them pellets, and you can let them forage in portable cages. The way that we do our rabbits is that we feed them pellets in the morning and then we feed them forage in the afternoon. Now, of course, in the afternoon, we don't feed the pastured rabbits anything because they've been getting forage all day long. But the ones suspended in cages, we feed them pellets in the morning and then we bring them, you know, weeds or, you know, forage or something like that in the afternoon for them. They seem to like that pretty well. They're certainly doing well and they seem to be satisfied. So how to water? Water, as you might imagine, is very important. And I've tried a number of different systems. Some of them have worked, some of them haven't. I tried a watering system where I had a 5-gallon bucket and PVC pipe running to each of the cages. This is the suspended ones. 5-gallon buckets, PVC running to each of the cages, and then nipples running off of the PVC pipe to go to each of the cages. And it worked until I had some bad weather. And as soon as I had some freezing weather, pipes froze up, burst. And, of course, PVC can be very brittle when it gets cold. And that was a problem. So I didn't continue to do that. And what I use now is I just use individual waters. Now you can use individual waters that, suspend themselves onto the cage. You can get those at most places. I'm going to put into the show notes, the place where I get most of my supplies. Sometimes I just get them from the local place down here, but a lot of times I get them from the supplier online, and I'll have a link in the website to that. But you can get the plastic bottles that are held on there. You can also get just the adapter that goes onto any kind of plastic bottle. So if you've got a 2-liter Coke bottle or you've got a water bottle or something like that, and you want to be able to screw that on there, you can do that with these kind of nozzles or nipple holders. And they will, they'll extend through the cage and they'll work out just fine for that. One of the challenges that I found with using bottles like this is, like with anything else, when you have water stored and sun gets in there, then any kind of dirt, debris, that kind of thing, get in there, it creates mold and can be a problem. So you have to clean them out regularly or rotate them in and out. If you've got inexpensive ones, you use water bottles, something like that, you can rotate them in and out. The actual nipple device works out pretty good. It stays pretty long, but the other ones you have to, the actual bottle itself, you have to replace periodically for it. And, you know, probably the cheapest, least expensive way you can do that, I have this in my largest rabbit pen, is I just have a cut. You can use any kind of container, but I just used a gallon milk jug and cut it in half. And I use that as my water and just fill that up. And then, the rabbits get up on the edge there and they just put their head in there and sip the water out. And so you can use a lot of different means for watering them. The only challenge with using that kind of system is that, of course, that falls over really quickly. They get running around in there, and as soon as they run around in there, they flip the water over and they don't have any water anymore. So the ones that actually are contained on the side are held in place through the cage. Those seem to last a little bit longer, and the rabbits drink out of that fine as well. So that takes care of water. So let's talk a little bit about breeding. And as I mentioned earlier, rabbits are phenomenal breeders. They are very, very prolific. In fact, one doe in my system can have about 20 or 30 bunnies easily each year. And I don't pressure them a whole lot. I give them more break than some of the professional rabbit breeders do. And so 20 or 30 bunnies, what does that mean? That means that if you wanted to get for yourself, if you wanted to get one rabbit a week, you really only need two does, and just alternating them in and out, and you were able to, to maintain 25 from each. And so that'd be 50. That gives you one a week of your own rabbits. And so, it's a great source just with two does. And, I don't know of any other animal that's able to do that kind of thing for you. So they're very, very prolific. And what you'll want to put in the pen with the rabbits is a nest box. They pull hair from their chest to open up their nipples, but also they do that to warm the babies, and you want to put some hay in there. And, any kind of box that's big enough for them, you can find directions for that. You can take a picture. I'm going to have a picture, of course, of some bunnies covered up under the hay and the hair on this episode. So you can take a look at that and see how I use. I just use pieces of plywood put together to make into a kind of a form of a nest for them. And you want to put that in about 25 days after breeding. And so about 25 or 30 days, they're going to have bunnies. It's called kindling. And you can use just about any kind of material I told you on that. Plastic will not work, though, because rabbits eat plastic. And so if you put anything plastic in there, they end up eating that. So wood or metal. And sometimes they'll eat the wood, but rarely, especially if it's like a plywood or something like that. And then, with regards to mating, sometimes it can be a challenge to get them to mate properly. It took me a little while to figure out how it works. And from my understanding, does are ready for breeding every day but three in the year, or every day but three in the month. And so if you happen to hit one of those days, then, they're not going to take. But most of the time that they will take, and the way that you can tell when a doe takes is she lifts up her tail. And when she lifts up her tail and kind of her hindquarters like that, and, the buck comes in, then, it breeds. Now, usually you can tell when the buck is done, he falls off. And if he doesn't fall off and he's still trying to pursue her, he hasn't take yet, or she didn't take. And so, but once he falls off, then, it's pretty much done. Now, what I have found, kind of a tip, is that when you're breeding the rabbits, I don't know why it works this way, but I know that rabbits can actually produce many eggs at one time and have, different cycles of eggs coming down. And so if you breed a rabbit and then you wait a few minutes and then you breed her again, you can have a bigger litter when she kindles. And so that's one thing you might want to be aware of if you're trying to raise bunnies. And so let's talk a little bit now about processing. And the first thing we want to address is how to kill a rabbit. I've tried a couple of different methods. You can purchase online. There's like a little rabbit baton thing you can use to kill a rabbit with. You can also use a method where you put your feet on a stick and put the rabbit underneath so that his neck or her neck is underneath it, and then you pull up on the hind legs and it breaks the rabbit's neck. And you can also shoot them. And I found recently that just shooting them is the least painful for them. Just takes them right out of their misery. They're done. They bleed out well. And, I'm sorry if this is kind of disgusting for some of you, but, this is the reality of farm life, and this is the reality of food. If we want to eat food, then we've got to find humane, decent ways of killing the animals that we are taking to market or that we're eating for ourselves. And so this is one way that we can do that, is either by breaking their neck like that or by shooting them. And then what you want to do is you want to skin them. And skinning them is just like skinning any other kind of game. So it would be like skinning a deer or something like that. It's the same kind of thing. You don't really want to skin from the outside. You want to skin from the inside, because skin from the outside, the hair is very preventative in doing that, and gets all over your equipment and your knife and that kind of thing. So you want to make sure you're coming from the inside to be able to skin. And there's all kinds of diagrams and videos online on how to skin rabbits. And, you know, if you're interested in doing that, you can certainly download one of those or watch one of those on YouTube. And then, you know, you have to pull pretty hard to get some of that, to get that off. And harder than you might think to, you know, strip the skin off the rabbit. But once that's done, of course, you want to gut the rabbit. You want to make sure you take a look at the entrails to make sure that there's nothing diseased looking on them, that they look healthy. Make sure you get all of the insides and stuff like that out cleanly without breaking any of it, so it doesn't spoil the meat. And then sometimes if you want to quarter the rabbits, and there's different kinds of meat on a rabbit, and some people like it a little more tender than others. And, you know, obviously the back legs, where there's a lot of meat there, is also the meat that's being used the most by rabbits. And so it's going to be probably a little bit tougher meat. And so some people like to take it and do something different with it. So if you want to quarter them up and use them that way, you can do that. Typically what we do with cooking our rabbit is we cook it all together and we stew it or put it into a crock pot and let it all cook together, and it just falls off the bone when it's time to eat. And so that's the way we typically do it. But you can certainly quarter it this time. Or keep it whole. So hopefully that's been a good show for you. If you've had any interest in raising rabbits or wanted to get started with that, or even just wanted to find out, you know, what's involved in it, that's how we do it. That's a little bit of information about it. And feel free to give me some, email me back with some questions or put some questions up on the show notes or make some comments, that kind of thing about it. And hopefully it's been good for you. And we have certainly tried to raise our rabbits in such a way that it recognizes the gift of creation that God has given to us, to be able to eat the meat and to be able to pass on a legacy of abundance through producing our own food and selling it to others. So with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? Just one life.